Wednesday, we had a small group, but did everyone get a chance to listen to it at all? Okay, so we were in Philippians 4, and we had a really good discussion. This isn't what we're, this is just a little side stuff here that I wanted to show you guys something because we had a good discussion afterwards. So Micah's teaching it, he's leading us as we're going through Philippians. And in Philippians 4, there's a couple ladies who are fighting with each other, right? And we know when we get into some beef with some people, that can consume us, that can really get our mind off of, what's important. It gets our mind on our beef, our offense, our whatever, right? So the instructions that Paul was giving was rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So when we rejoice in the Lord and we worship him, we're putting God back up on the throne. Remember you said in the discussion, take my sickness down off of the throne, put God up there, right? Yeah. So that's what happens when we start worshiping. And then it says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So the effects that I get through my worship, I'm going to give to everyone else. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, what I see in this is exactly what we've been looking at, where, healing comes from relationship with the Father. With Jesus, our relationship, that's where our healing comes from. We've already studied that. It's a byproduct of our relationship. Well, right here, he's saying, get into prayer, get into thanksgiving, and that mental anxiety that you're going through, you're going to get peace because of your relationship as you do those things. So I see the parallel there. And then it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So that's what we're told to do in these circumstances. Meditate on the good things. Think about the good that comes from God, from having a good father, right? So think on those things. Lift him up, take down the things that you're in pride about, right? Offense comes from pride. How dare you say that to me? Who do you think, you're elevating yourself, right? So elevate God back up. And those are the instructions we were had. So I want to show you the story where after we talked on Wednesday, I saw this and I thought about it. And here's a real life example of Jesus doing this. Turn to Matthew 11. So I just gave you what, 3 minutes of Philippians. You guys should go back and listen to the whole half an hour. You'll get more out of it. And I probably left a ton of it out. Well, I know I did. Okay, so Matthew 11, verse 2. Okay, John the Baptist, he's been put in prison, right? He's been, they had him seized and now he's sitting in prison. And what do you think's going in his head while he's sitting in prison? And he's sitting in prison for a long time, Verse 2, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? So like, hey, you're gonna rescue me out of this, or are you gonna, or should I just keep on waiting for somebody else, right? Kind of a frustrated question, maybe some doubts creeping in. Who knows, right? But he's not happy with his situation. I could tell by this question. So Jesus answered to his disciples, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. So his answers to John's question was, think about the good things that God's doing. I know your circumstances, right? He doesn't say all this, but I'm giving you an answer to think on these things, right? And all of those are direct quotes from Isaiah, right? The prophecy of what was to come, that Jesus was going to come and fulfill this. And we know that John knew Isaiah. His dad was a priest, right? He knows the word. He even quoted, like, are you who are you, Elijah, and all that. And he quotes Isaiah, right?
In the desert.
Yeah, he quotes Isaiah. So he knows that. So Jesus is pointing him back to the scriptures that says these things, and he says these things are happening, and your disciples will to they'll attest to him because they're here watching it happen. So he pointed him back to the scripture, and he pointed him to the promise that God gave him in Isaiah that these things are happening now. So it's exactly what we read in Philippians 4. Think on these things. Meditate on these good things that are happening, right? Don't think on your circumstance. Okay, so then what does he do next? The disciples go away to go tell him that. And then he starts saying really good things about John. Right. Verse 7, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind. But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Surely I say to you, among those born of women, there's not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Okay, I'll just stop there. He said this very flattering things about John, but he didn't say them to the disciples. He said it to everybody after he left. Why? Because that's not going to help John. John would take those words and probably elevate himself and say, yeah, I did do those things. I am that guy, right? But the things that Jesus gave him to do was a way to elevate God, to get him through his circumstances, thinking about who he is, maybe his own works or the things he's done to prepare the way is not the answer for John. But Jesus showed us the answer by think of these good things that God did. So I saw those this week, and I just wanted to share it after Wednesday. I guess I'll take just a quick discussion if anyone has anything.
Well, it's just like we kind of talked a little bit about this in our Sunday school class, but like Jesus could have said, oh yeah, no, this is the plan. He could have said something to help John feel better, but by going, he knew that John knew all those scriptures by heart. By since quoting the scripture, it gave him that, the Spirit gave him that encouragement of, like you said, that this is happening. So it's the same as us looking at something in the Word and understanding. Jesus said, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And we were talking about seeing, and that's what John did, is he saw it through the scriptures.
And that's what's going to give him that peace, not him getting puffed up, but seeing God's hand in all of this. So,
And this whole time up until that point, the scripture is what had been given John his motivation, encouragement this whole time about Jesus being that person, right? So it's like the word of God was what was driving him from the beginning. So I think he's also pointing back, like, oh, remember this. Don't,
yeah.
don't dwell on right now. Think about what's been given you this encouragement.
So we can use that for ourselves when we're in a state of mind where we're anxious about something, right? We're not supposed to be anxious about anything. Think of the good things that God is doing, and that will bring you back to the peace that you need. It'll redirect you back. So we've all been there. We're all there all the time. So.
Real quick, something we touched on in Philippians chapter 2, it says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy, being of the same mind, going through that. What Paul's doing there is kind of what Jesus is doing too. Hey, think about the stuff you've seen happen in your own life. through each other, the things that like you can look at and say, hey, this has transpired. I can look back to this, look at what's happening right now, and use that as your unity, and use that as your, as opposed to some trying to think philosophically about something that's going on. It's like, look at the results of your life and the life and the people around you.
Okay, so that was just a little tangent that we did from Wednesday, because Wednesday was really good. So again, I encourage you guys to listen in to the recording on that. Today we're going to get into the power of God's word. We're going to be reading Hebrews 1:3 says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." So of course they're talking about Jesus, but the point we're making here is everything in this world, including your health, is held by the power of his word. That should encourage us to ask, what does the word say? If it's the word that's upholding all things, we should know what it says. And once we do know that, and the strength of his word and the power of his word, we can lean on his word and rely on his word. God's word is this invisible force holding the whole universe together. Mark 13:31, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." In Revelations 21, it says that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But even this earth isn't going to pass away until God's word says so. So that's the power of God's word. And the Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are invisible." God created the universe by his word. All creation was created by the force and power that was released when God spoke. There was nothing here. So when it says, back here where it says, "so that the things which are seen," what we can see right now, were, not made of things which were visible. Remember, in the beginning, it was void, it was nothing. But God was able to speak it, and it happened, and now we're able to see it. God's word is what keeps the world in place. We have the people who want to save the planet. They say that all the cows farting or ruining the ozone or whatever, right? So it's like, hey, God's word is upholding this world, so I'm not buying into all that. Yes, I know we can be better stewards of where we live at and pollution-wise or whatever, but there's no doubt in my mind that nothing's going to happen until God says it to happen. So, there was not a thing in existence until God spoke. Let there be. He spoke us into creation. Jesus is the fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies of his birth. We were just talking about that in Isaiah, a lot of them. Jesus was spoken into creation by the word of prophecy. Remember John, in John 1, he wrote, "And the word was made flesh," right? So Jesus was the word, he was with God, and he was made flesh. If the same power that spoke Christ into being is released in God's word, we need to be reading it. So if God's word is given prophecy, and that prophecy was able to manifest Jesus here, then we should be paying attention to this power. God's word is the incorruptible seed. In 1 Peter 1, 23 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed or imperishable seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." So God's system comes in seed form. All life produces seed and recreates or reproduces after his own kind. We were created in God's image after his own kind. The whole seed and harvest thing is a lot of God's law. So The word of God became implanted on the inside of us and started to give birth. Okay, biology lesson, a baby starts with a seed when conception takes place. Spora is the Greek word for seed, and it's the same word we get sperm from. When we put our faith and trust in the word of God, that's the moment of conception for whatever we need. When we trust what God has said regarding healing, that's the moment we begin to conceive that healing. Okay, God said, by his stripes, I am healed. Once I receive that seed, right? And okay, that's when things are going to start growing inside of me, right? And I don't know, and it's only the truth that I know. If I don't know God's word, nothing will be fruitful. When God created the world, he spoke out in a seed form. There's life in the seed of God's word. Now, what determines growth is the type of ground you put seed in. The seed of your breakthrough, whatever we're praying for, healing, prosperity, whatever it is we may need, deliverance from something, right? Whatever the seed of your breakthrough is found in the word of God. All the needed potential, the capacity, the life, the power is contained in the seed. The word to bring healing to your flesh, peace to your mind, abundance to your finances, and prosperity to your household. The moment you received Jesus, you received the seed of his word when you accepted Jesus into your heart. You have the ability to conceive any miracle you need because you received Jesus. Back to John 1:1, the word made flesh. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And we jump down to verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the word of God. Power, dominion, authority were given to you when you received Jesus, the word made flesh. No matter what's going on in your flesh today, your spirit contains the seed of God's word. Your spirit is packed full of potential, and because your spirit is sealed, it's incorruptible, right? It cannot be changed, damaged, anything. What?
The Holy Spirit seals our salvation.
That's right. And just like his word in us, it's incorruptible. Be sure God's word, his truth, his opinion, his good report is the seed you're planting. Proverbs 13. Oh, wait, hold on. I got ahead of myself. Okay. The seed in you can bring life and healing, but it depends on what you're planting, right? If I plant apple seeds, I'm going to get apple seed or apple trees, right? If I plant orange seeds, I'm going to get orange trees. I keep screwing them, right? So when it says we can speak and repeat good or bad, and each seed slash word is going to reproduce after its own kind. So what if I'm planting negativity? That's what I'm going to get, right? What if I'm speaking doubt? That's what I'm going to produce. All right. God's word, though, is incorruptible. Be sure God's word, his truth, his opinion, his good report is the seed you're planting. Proverbs 13, verses 2 and 3. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. Saying he doesn't plant bad seeds. That's what he's doing. By guarding his mouth, he's not planting bad seeds. All right. The parable of the sower. Jesus said this parable is key to understanding the word of God. Parables are a story that illustrates spiritual truth. That's what parables are. They hit the back half of Mark 4. You guys remember the parable? Or do I need to read it? It's, they planted seeds, the sower threw out seeds, right? Some landed on good ground, some landed on hard ground, rocky ground. You guys remember that parable? Okay, then I'll skip that part. But the second half of that is when he explains it. They said, like, hey, we don't understand this. Can you explain? So Mark 4:13. And he said to them, do you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Okay, listen. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and then they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Okay, so the seed. What is the seed?
The word.
The word of God, right? Okay, what is the sower? Who is the sower? God, or the speaker of God's word. And then the ground. It was the condition of our heart and what we do with the seed of the word, right? So, Psalms 107:20, God sent his word and healed you. So, the seed isn't the issue, right? The seed is incorruptible. There's nothing wrong at all with the seed. It's fruitful, it has the potential. We need to pay attention to the condition of our heart, because it is the soil in which we receive and produce the word. In verse 15, they said, they all hear. Everybody hears. The seed is there to do whatever its potential can do, but it's the condition of the ground that we put it in, in our heart. Seed thrown by the wayside, Satan comes after the potential of the word that he sees inside of you, right? So Satan comes and steals that word. He doesn't want that seed to get in us. He doesn't want that seed producing any kind of fruit. And how does he steal that? He does it by, if we have God's word and we put it in our heart and we've elevated it and say, God said this, I'm standing on this. What's he going to do? Oh, guess what? Here comes some offense traps. Here comes some sickness. So you will doubt that word and choke it out, and you'll have anxiety, right? And you won't stand and get rooted in the word. That's his simple little tricks that he does, right? He does it by sickness, offense, doubt, etc. Seeds on stony ground, trials or symptoms defeat the seed. Don't be disappointed if your symptoms come back. You haven't blown your chance at healing. You need that word of God to be rooted and established in you. If your symptoms come back, it's just Satan trying to throw some more traps at you. Hey, you did good so this far. Well, guess what? He's gonna keep fighting you, but we're supposed to resist him, and then he'll flee. You contain the healer. You haven't lost your healing. Persecution from the word's sake. Okay, Carly tells a story about herself. Carly fought this during the manifestation of her healing by having the word of God established in her, and she was fully convinced. She used to be a really bad epileptic, and she had these seizures that would try to kill her, just really bad ones, right? But once she became established in God's word, she was fully convinced. She didn't forget nor change her mind. It was now concrete in her. It was permanent. It was rooted, right? And that's when she saw deliverance of that. The seed among thorns. The condition of her heart can be moved by circumstances. We just kind of saw John have some circumstances which caused some wavering, right? These can distract us to such a point that the seed of our healing is unfruitful. Worry, pressure, stress, lust for something else, things we put on the throne that's not God or His Word, right? Things that we elevate in ourselves. Oh man, work. I'm just stressed out about work. Well, what are you doing? You have anxiety about something that's not God, right? So it's fear, it's whatever. So you're meditating in the wrong way. Worry is meditating on fearful thing instead of meditating on the things that are good, the things that will give you peace. Good ground. Hear, receive, and bear fruit of the word. You're hearing the seed of healing today. God's healing power is available for you to reach out and grab. His will, according to His word, is to heal you. So get rooted in that. He wants me healed. He wants us to be able to receive what He's already given us. Okay, so next section, prepare your heart. And this is just like Jen's blog that she wrote. And Kendra, can you add that to the website? I printed it out, but it was really good. But this is a lot like about what she wrote. Make sure what you're hearing is good. Okay, so if God's word is good, make sure you're hearing. If it's against what He says, fight against that. There's lots of seeds competing for your soil, right? I think we can all understand that. In Luke 8:18, Jesus says, "Therefore, take heed how you hear." Okay, so if you're just going to hear everything, there's going to be some weeds thrown in with the good seed. Okay, so the thorns, we need to make sure that we take heed how we hear. Weed the garden of your heart by confronting the weeds or lies that have been established in your heart. You might need to do a little gardening, some weed pulling, right? Common lies. I don't deserve healing. I brought this on myself. Condemnation, shame, guilt. This is God's judgment on me. Those are all the wrong seeds, and they need to get pulled out, okay? Even if your condition is due to your actions or inactions, God is bigger than that, right? Got diabetes because I pigged out all the time on the wrong food, right? So, self-inflicted, but God is bigger than that. We're talking about Cindy's lung. Maybe it's due to all the years of smoking, but God is bigger than that. It makes no difference, right? So we could pull those weeds right out. For my own self-condemnation that like I did this to myself. I don't need to think like that anymore. All I need to think about God is bigger than this. That thing that I sent, that little Bill Johnson thing, right? Yeah, it's there, but God is bigger. Okay, and that's what's gonna make it go away. We received salvation when we were sinners. You didn't receive Jesus based on your goodness, and you can't receive your healing based on your activities. Everybody confess. I will not be disqualified from receiving healing.
I will not be disqualified from receiving healing.
I refuse to believe that lie.
I refuse to believe that lie.
I pull out the roots of that lie.
I pull out the roots of that lie.
Okay. Remember that. Prepare the soil by opening your heart to receive God's truth. Choose to believe the truth. Don't let your seed be dug up. Keep it in the soil. What happens to a seed when you keep pulling up to see if it's rooted or not? It ain't going to survive, right? Okay. Prepare the soil by, no, wait, don't let your seed be dug up. Keep it in the soil. Let it produce. Don't be impatient. All right. Hebrews 6:12. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Constant examination and constant clock watching will dig up the word, right? When I wanted healing, when I was going after it, I was like, I want it now. I just wanted to come say, hey, pick up your mat and go. I want to stop. I want this to stop today, and I want to just get up and be back to full health. But it's not the way it came for me through patience. I'm getting more rooted in this word, and I'm getting better every day. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. And his word has not lied to me, and I've seen the fruit of that word. Let's look, guys, turn to Luke 8. Luke 8, well, verse 12 says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Saved here at the end of the sentence is sozo, which is, the root of soteria that we've already talked about, right? Salvation, including healing. So the devil comes and takes away the word out of the hearts, lest they should believe and be saved and healed, right? If we're and prospered, and all those words that come with soteria. And verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Having heard the word and noble good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Patience after the seed is received in good soil. So the part where it says keep it and bear fruit with faith, keep it, cling to it, hold fast, seize, retain it, and possess it against trouble, right? Make it concrete, make it permanent, like we talked about earlier. An illustration with this, if you think about a running back holding a football, right? 11 defenders trying to strip that ball from him. And how does he hold on to that ball? He's protecting that ball. He's holding on to it. Nobody's going to strip that ball out of my hands, right? That's what we need to do with God's word. All those things will come up against us that Satan tries to throw down. We need to cling to God's word and the things that he says. And those who do that, and they keep it, and they bear fruit with patience. The longer you're holding on, right? Things are going to grow. Your seed is in the soil. Give it some time to sprout. Surround yourself with people who are as protective of your seed as you are. Until it's rooted and grounded, your seed is vulnerable to being dug up, right? If you want to go out and say, hey, I'm believing for my healing, and others tell you, oh, that's not going to work, and here's why, and all that. Oh, I tried that once; it didn't work. They're not looking out for you. You got to surround yourself with people who think like you do and will be wanting you to help protect you with that word, right? Luke 8:21 said, but he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Right? Surround yourself with people who will lift you up, encourage you, and challenge you to believe the word of God, like all of us here, right? There's going to be people who are going to naysay stuff, but if you're hearing that word, it's going to do damage. So stop it in its tracks. Set boundaries against those words that threaten your seed. Right, we just read about the power of our word in Proverbs, right? If we're going to plant good seeds or we're going to plant bad seeds, right? Well, even hearing some of these bad seeds can creep in and make you start thinking about those things. Set boundaries against those words that threaten your seed. Don't let others sow seeds in the garden you're trying to protect. Okay, so you rebuke those things, right? In Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Okay? So you have a job to do. It's your job to reject the tongues that rise against you, that would dig up your seed or spoil the ground of your heart. When I was hadn't quite learned this yet, and other people had, and I'd kind of just say something. They'd be on me about, Hey, don't be speaking that. Don't speak that juju over me, Ricky Bobby. Right? So remember, those are seeds being planted. Remember, Peter said, "You don't have to go to the cross, Jesus. We'll find another way." And Jesus condemned that word. He said, "Get behind me, Satan. I ain't trying to hear that." Right? Even though you don't understand it, I understand it. So don't even speak it. Jesus nipped that right in the bud, right? So that's what this is kind of saying here is, surround yourself with people who are as protective of your soil as you are. And that's today's lesson, how powerful God's word is, how it's in the law of sowing and reaping, like a lot of things in God's law are the kingdom. And we need to protect our ground, make the ground good and protect it. So, any comments?
I was thinking about, you said you contain the healer inside. And I was thinking about the whole time I was thinking, Jesus is the word, how this whole thing comes together. But I was like thinking, I probably need to saturate myself with the word more, but then we're also talking, and then the ones with the good heart hear the word, so keep it and bear fruit with patience. So it's sort of like, I guess it's both, you've got to be patient.
Allow it to grow once it's rooted. And then that's when the fruit comes. So they illustrate, a plant or a tree. First the roots get in it, and then it starts rising where the fruit will come.
Yeah. It even says that in one of the scriptures.
But you know us, instant gratification culture, I want it and I want it now. And patience is hard for us in this culture. I mean, farmers, they understand it. They know that there's a time for sowing and there's a time for reaping.
On top of
We're
all
not farmers. We want just to reap right now.
of this, well, and on top of all of this, though, then Satan's ready to steal that word from you. You know what I mean? So it's sort of like, there's so many things that you need to be focused on mentally. But if you're just pouring yourself onto the word, you aren't going to have to worry about it.
Yeah, you just keep getting good seeds. If I plant one seed, what's going to do better, that, or if I scatter seeds and just, there's lots of seeds falling, right? And that's what we do. We're just talking about watching crazy shows, right? I could read the Bible, get some good seeds, and then I could watch Netflix and get a bunch of bad seeds and think about the evil that's out there in the world. And you know what I mean? So it's like, what are you going to fill your heart up with?
I was telling Casey that Dr. Bob's aunt, I had sent her a book, and I hadn't heard from her, and I was kind of thinking, you're happy. Maybe it didn't go over well or whatever. But she called me, and she said she's in the process of moving, so that's why she hadn't called. But she said, I have macular degeneration, and I said, oh, I think I remember you told me that. But she goes, yeah, I can't hardly read in time. And she went on to tell me that, Bob's grandma had like eight children, or what, seven or eight children, or whatever it is. And only Bob's mom and maybe another one did not die blind from macular degeneration. And now she's like telling me all this stuff. I was kind of going, I'm going, oh, dang, But then I got off the phone and go, well, I said, first of all, Bob didn't have that problem, which doesn't affect me, but that's your story. That is not my story. I don't even have macular degeneration. I have myopic degeneration. But it's all of a sudden you can kind of like your imagination can put yourself in a spot or something. And, it's like,
Start meditating on the
yeah.
wrong seeds, on the
And
wrong
I,
things that are
yeah.
not noble, not good,
I
things that
had
are
to
trying to
rebuke it
destroy.
and curse it and stuff after I got off the phone. And still just know that the enemy wants to steal that seed.
Well, you think about it this way, that didn't get passed down through our generation, our lineage. She didn't, if it didn't happen to her, if it
Your
didn't
dad
have
had,
that
but
problem,
he
then
didn't have that. So.
it's God's bigger than any genetics.
Yeah. when you're going through something, right, sister? When you're going through something that's been there for so long, you kind of feel like it is a big thing, you know? It is something big, and then you go, wait a minute, this
It gets
isn't
put
big.
on the big throne,
Yeah.
and then you're like, get off of that throne. I'm putting you back up there.
Yeah. The symptoms come.
Anybody else? If there's nothing else, we will wrap this up today. All right, let's pray. Well, Thor, oh Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's not the variable, Lord. We can fully trust in your word. Your word is solid. It does not move. It's our hearts. And we thank you for teaching us this and allowing us to guard ours. Help us help guard each other's and our words and what we even say to others. Lord, we just want to be the light on the side of the hill for you, Lord, and show everybody how your kingdom works. We ask that you bless the rest of this day and this week until we gather together. And in your name, amen.
Amen.